Welcome to another episode of Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. Today is an interview with my friend Mary McKenzie. We're going to talk about candle magic. I have so much to learn about it, and I've been using it unconsciously, and I know you have too. Settle in. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel, so I bring forward your guides so you can connect more easily with them, allowing you to have soul-deep conversations with them whenever you want. I'm also an energy healer, past life explorer, a teacher. My goal is to empower you by teaching you these techniques that you can use on your own. We work together to find and identify the blockages to your growth and release them, inviting you to explore your possibilities. I'm available for phone and virtual sessions. The best way to contact me is Susie, that's S-U-S-Y, Susie@BlueLightningHealing.com. Visit BlueLightningHealing.com for up-to-date information. Blessings. And cue. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. Today, I realized how long it's been since I've talked to my friend Mary McKenzie. So we're all getting our dose of Mary today. And I also remembered at one point she said, candle magic? Shoot, I know all about that. The bonus round, light splash, and the ding, ding, dings happen. So I finally got myself together enough to get Mary back on here so we can talk about candle magic. But first, let's talk about Mary. Hello, darling.
Hello. How are you?
All right. So, okay, we need your info first, and then we'll jump in. See, I'm being organized again.
Wow. Okay.
Right. Sure.
I'm Mary McKenzie. I'm a professional tarot card reader and psychic healer. So if you get a tarot card reading from me, you get a psychic healing too, two for the price of one. I can also contact your guides, your ancestors, especially around this time in October, the time of Samhain, the Celtic New Year. The veil is thin, and so your ancestors are closer. If you'd like to speak to them, I can help with that. I can be found on Facebook, also on Instagram. My website is on both. My Instagram is Miniature Witch, and that's W-Y-T-C-H-E. My website will tell you everything that I do. I'm more than happy to help anyone out who would like a reading and a little bit more insight into their life.
I've had readings from Mary, and I'm scheduling another one. Let me tell y'all, she is down to earth and to the point. She doesn't coddle, but she's kind of like, she's not kind of. She is very straightforward and doesn't sugarcoat it, but she also comes from such a place of compassion and love. And she knows, let me talk about you in the third person, Mary. I have found that you're straightforward, but you tell us the options. Oh boy, I'm really going to have to go over that again. No, I like getting a reading from Mary. That's all there is to it. Today, I wanted to talk to you about candle magic. Blowing out a birthday candle, that's candle magic, because you make a wish and then you blow it out and the smoke takes it up into the universe. There was one birthday party, you know, when the kids are young, there's always somebody who wants to blow out the candles with the birthday kid, and then all the, oh, you blew out the candle. All right, that's right. We'll light it again. And I got to where I was just making individual cupcakes so everybody could blow out a candle. So subversive. But yeah, nobody blows on candles anymore. But I know there is a lot of cultural context to it. Growing up Catholic, we always had our votive candles, and they used candles a lot in marriages. There's one great big tall one, the Paschal candle, I think they call it. So they used that one all the time. Those were made out of special beeswax, if I remember right.
Well, and most candles were made out of beeswax, so it was just easier because it was wax. They didn't have to make the wax. It was already made. So that's something that a lot of people don't know. And before then it was oil. You know, everybody had oil lamps or lights. So candles were a relatively new form. And then the use of tallow came later from, unfortunately, coming from whales, and the whale oil and everything was used to make the tallow because the beeswax wasn't as easy to get, and the tallow made candles were cheaper and easier to make. So that was for the reason for the switchover, but most everything originally was beeswax.
But with magic, see, I'm not really well versed as far as Middle Ages magic and stuff like that, but you can imbue anything with intention.
Yeah. Intention is the point of magic. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about this as well, because she was very hung up on some magic that she was trying to do and going through the steps and making sure that they were exactly right and everything. And there is a form of magic, high magic, ceremonial magic, that it is very important to do every single one of those steps right. You're involving a lot more. But if you're doing earth magic that comes from your heart, from your empathy, from your compassion and love for whatever it is that you're doing or you want to do, say you're doing a healing for someone, that's more on an intuitive level. And so there aren't just strict rules to follow. But the reason why there are guidelines and rules is because they're like anything, there's trial and error. People that have been doing many different types of magic for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and they know what works and what doesn't. So what you come up with when you're looking at these guidebooks and information is you're essentially reading somebody's successes and failures. We can only give you a little bit of a guide here and there. We know pretty sure that X, Y, and Z, this works. But if you don't have the right frame of mind, if you're ill, if you're angry, you don't want to be doing any kind of spiritual magical work anyway in those states of mind. Because when you do spiritual magical work, you're opening yourself up to other planes of existence, all kinds of energies around you. And you don't want any harm to come to you.
Right.
And if you're not in the right state of mind, it can harm you.
Yeah.
So you want to be clear on what you're doing. And so that's why it's important to have the right frame of mind and the right intention before you do anything, candle magic or whatever magic you're doing. Yeah.
And candle magic, you can pretty much integrate into everyday thing, because everybody, it seems like, you know, if you want to have some sort of decor in your house, you can have candles there. And there are the great big fat ones that weigh 9 pounds and have so many wicks in them that could be used in magic. So the kind of candle, see, I don't see that there's much of a difference between those great big ones that are bigger than your head and the tea lights. Obviously, they're going to have different burn times and your intention can burn with those. And you can get a variety of candles. I get them from the dollar store, the pillar ones, and some of those you can use. Well, there's a lot of ways to activate them, right? So
yes.
Right off, I know color can have an impact. These ones that I get from the dollar store sometimes are wrapped with Our Lady of Guadalupe or even Jesus. They've got Judas. No, not Judas. Who is the
Saint
one?
St. Jude.
That yeah. Lost causes and angels and stuff like that. So those are kind of preset in the intention, but using the color can help you do that. Now dressing a candle, could you please explain that?
When you do candle magic, the candle it's a living, breathing entity. I tell people when you start with it and you have the candle, if it's not in glass, there's a different way to dress a candle in glass. But
and I want to cover that one after you talk about a naked candle.
Yeah, any other candle, you want to start out in the middle of the candle and use whatever oil or unguent or cream or whatever it is that you're using that has the scent that you want and the energies that you want in it. You're imbuing that candle with that. So say you're using frankincense oil, which is something I use a lot. Frankincense is extremely high vibration. It's extremely powerful, so it will bring in major high power into anything. It's also very cleansing and protective. So it kind of hits all the bases, but you want to make sure that the candle is completely covered. And the traditional way to do that is to start in the middle of the candle and work up and down, work up and down, work up and down. So just take the oil and dot it in the center of the candle, and then take your hands and just rub it up and rub it down onto the candle until it's completely covered, especially the top and the bottom. And of course, while you're doing this, as in any kind of magic that you do, you want to be concentrating on what you want. You're telling the candle like you would program a computer. You're programming the candle and you're telling the candle, this is what I want. This is what you're becoming. This is what I'm making you into. Because as you burn the candle sends that energy out to, it's like ringing a bell and it's saying, this is what I want. That's the traditional way to dress the candle. Now, if you've got one that's in glass, if it's just a color in glass, which is what I tell people to use for candle magic, because of course anything that's on the candle is going to influence what the candle does, because whoever made that candle also had the intention of whatever the picture is on it. So that it also, yeah, there's a lot of layers. If you just pick a color, you're going to want to take the oil that you're using and you're just going to rub it on the top of the candle where you can actually touch the candle.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to add anything extra to it on the glass or whatever, you can draw it on the glass. Okay. You can paint it on the glass. I have a friend that makes glass candle sleeves. They're like a glass candle, except there's no candle in it. It's just glass. And she paints things on the glass that represent what you want. She mostly does deities, but it's large enough that you can slip a glass 7-day into it.
Oh.
You can reuse it and reuse it. It's really wonderful. Oh. I can give you her information when we're done here, but that's what you want to do with a glass candle. And glass candles, if you're using those, unless you have intended, like I have three candles that are in glass, but I only burn them for about 20 minutes during a ritual that I do. But they know that. I've told them that that's their intention. But most glass candles, when you start the burn, you want it to burn all the way through. So of course, you want it to be somewhere where it's going to be safe and it isn't going to be knocked down by a cat or a child or anyone that could burn your house down. Most glass candles are set up to where they are self-extinguishing. Also, they're really, really safe to use, actually.
Huh.
If they're knocked over 99 times out of 100, they'll put themselves out. The way they're set up, you never know. There's always that 1% where it could catch on something or, you know, and of course, you don't want hot wax ruining whatever it is they fall on. So, but anyway, that's to kind of circle back. That's how you would dress candles.
Okay. Dressing the glass doesn't make sense to... but writing on it, because with water bottles and stuff, there are stickers you can put on it.
Sure.
When you want to program the water, so you could program the candle with that. I know I light my candles with intention to help heal anybody. For the purpose of, say, a spell or a working of some sort, you want to have a candle that you can leave running and that it doesn't need to be one of those 100-year candles that goes and goes. So the size of the candle can be used to your benefit.
Yeah.
The tea lights are the very small ones in the little aluminum containers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use those in spell work?
Oh yeah. In fact, you can take them out of you just want to make sure that you put them in something that can contain the heat from the aluminum
right.
that they're wrapped in.
Right.
And of course that's easy. Lots of places sell little glass holders for tea lights. So
yeah.
I like tea lights because they don't burn very long. And so you can do, a lot of us are really busy. We've got a lot going on in our lives. A lot of us have jobs. And so if you want to do candle magic, tea lights now come in all different colors.
Yeah.
So you get green or blue or yellow, you know, whatever you want, and do a little tea light spell. And that little tea light, I think, will burn maybe an hour,
okay.
hour and a half, 2 hours at the most.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you're done. I use them for full moon and new moon rituals. I actually have a bunch of black new moon tea lights that I use for dark moon, new moon. And then of course you can get white tea lights anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I use for full moon. But for me, it's just, I like to set things on my windowsill so that the moon can see my spell and become a part of it. I always invite the outside. I have a couple of really beautiful trees outside of my apartment window. And so it involves nature into that after I'm done doing whatever it is I want to say or do. I set the candle on the windowsill. And then it's also safe from the cats. They can't get to the candle. And so it's able to sit there and burn in peace, because that's something else. When you do candle magic, you don't want your candle to be disturbed or messed with, because it doesn't like that. And it will affect the energy that you put into it. You want to make sure that it's left somewhere to burn out peacefully so that it can do its own thing. So,
okay. So if you get a draft somewhere and it blows it out, is that a bad thing or
no.
unfortunate or?
No, it just means that it was done. Whatever happens to the candle as you're burning it is all a part of the ritual. It's not an outside influence. When you initiate any spell, anything that happens during that spell is part of it. And so if it blows out or it falls over or it doesn't burn all the way through, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. And it is telling you a message when you do that.
Okay. And then there's another kind of, there are different sizes. We've already
yes.
said that they were. So there's those tea lights, which are the short squat ones. And then we've already talked about the jar ones and the great big Better Homes and Gardens kind of put it on your table kind of thing. Now, the other ones I know about are chimes and tapers.
Yeah.
So a chime. Fill me in on the chimes, please.
The chime candles are a specific size. Those are really popular in metaphysical bookstores also to get because they also are really short burning. So again, they're for people who want to do a spell but don't have a lot of time to have it burn like for days and days and days. So that's its main reason why it's the size that it is. If you get the actual chime that the candles are meant to burn with, because the heat from the candle runs the chime.
Oh, it's those little metal things that look like a little fan, and there's got a cherub up top, and then you run the and it spins it, and sometimes there is a chime part attached to it so it rings. Okay.
Yeah, those
they're
are
like 3 or 4 inches tall.
Yep. Okay. Those candles they're readily available in any metaphysical bookstore. But I will tell you that candle magic is becoming more challenging to do because unless you go to a metaphysical bookstore or like a specialty decorative store, like I was in Cost Plus yesterday, and they do have some candles. Most places don't sell candles anymore. They're starting to be considered dangerous. So they just don't sell them anymore. You can't get them at craft stores or, you know, other places like that. They're all gone and they're all being replaced with electric candles.
Okay. That's a nice segue before we get to the tapers.
Yeah.
Electric candles then, are those?
That's an entirely different thing. They're intended to just provide light. I wouldn't use electric candles in candle magic. They're not really designed for all of the things that I know about to do a candle magic spell. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Side note, I know you put the candle in the jack-o'-lanterns because it helps to lead those spirits off to transition over. So this is a great time of year for candles. They have that warmth to it. And then the beeswax ones smell so good. I don't like the synthetic scents. Those kind of make my nose itch. I'm already scratching my nose just thinking about them. Okay. So we talked about tea lights and then chimes and then the jar ones and then tapers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those longer ones that I always see on those old dining room table things.
Easier to find because people still like to buy those for romantic dinners, I guess. You can use those too. Sure. You would dress them the same way that I said previous. And they're nice to use as what I call message candles because of the way they're set up. They're so long. You can take a pin or a pen or another sharp instrument and you can actually write messages up the candle.
Okay.
And always go from the bottom to the top if you're going to do this.
Okay, why is that?
Write directly onto the candle what you want. So
why do you go from bottom to top?
You're sending your message from the earth up into the heaven. It's kind of a psychological thing because if you're bringing down energy from heaven to earth, that's a different kind of magic. And candle magic is what we're talking about is really more an earth magic thing. So you want to start from the bottom and send out. You always want to send your messages out.
Cool. And then, okay, you set your intention. You can dress the candle however you want, whether it's using oils, you can inscribe the candle. What about using herbs with them?
That's interesting. I know people have, especially with little tea lights or sometimes with the glass candles, the taper type candles, votive candles, they've sprinkled little herbs on top of the candle. You can certainly do that. Just understand that whatever you put in the candle is going to burn. Okay. So make sure that it's something that isn't going to disrupt the candle burning or it's going to catch on fire or, you know, there's practical considerations to using herbs. I actually got a candle right now that I'm saving for this coming full moon. It's white sage and lavender. It's a lavender candle that's had sage actually put into the candle wax. So it's going to burn really interesting. It's going to bring out that scent and everything, but those herbs are going to burn as the wax gets hotter. What I recommend to people, if you want to do that, is crush up your herbs really fine, almost to the point where that they're a powder. Okay. So when you're sprinkling them on the candle, you have less of a chance of something just igniting. And so you have more flame than just the candle flame.
Okay.
You don't want anything happening that's going to distract you from what you're trying to do.
Okay. And before I touch on votives, this is as opposed to incense. Say you're using a charcoal disc and you're sprinkling the herbs on there. That's a finite thing and it doesn't have fuel necessarily that's going to ignite it. Okay. Because that's all about smoking. Okay. And then the other kind of candle you mentioned was a votive candle. Mm-hmm. Growing up Catholic, we always had those banks of the votives and you tossed your coin in there. I thought I was cheating when I didn't pay for the candle. And those would be a public place where you could light the candle with your prayer going up. So candle, whether you call it magic or not, it's still candles represent a whole lot, light in the darkness and sending up prayers and all that stuff. So candles are really a lovely, a commonly used tool to help convey prayers or intention. Therefore,
and votives are good for short-term spells. I think they're the best spell candle. Votives and tapers tend to burn about the same amount of time, which is about a week. So, you know, if you're going to come in and say your spell or your ritual, light your candle, let it burn for an hour and then put it out. Tapers and votives are ideal for that purpose.
Okay.
And you then know, if,
relighting
if you're
it.
In a situation where you have to put the candle out, you can't leave it burning. Those work best. So.
Okay.
The tapers, of course, you have to make sure that they're somewhere where the wax can fall, which is why I like votives, because the wax just falls into the glass, the holder that it's in, and it continues to burn that wax as it falls through, burn, fall through, burn. So votives are really good in just really clearly burning through the whole candle, which is really what you want to do when you're doing a candle magic spell, is having as much of that candle burn as possible. And a lot of that can do with physics can just affect that by how the candle set in the holder, you know, how it's going to burn, the environmental conditions around it.
Actually, I know I trim my wicks on these other candles. So the length of the wick can have an impact on the physics of it.
You don't want to cut the wick once you've started the spell, though. Don't keep cutting that wick, because when you start a candle magic spell with a candle, you've brought it to life. So it's now something that is living. So you don't want to mess with the wick. There's also, you want to be very specific about how you extinguish the candle.
I was just about to ask that. It was on my notes.
Whenever possible, try not to blow out a candle, because you're taking that intent and you're just literally blowing it away. And it's like taking an eraser and erasing something you've written on a chalkboard. You're essentially doing the same thing. That's why they have candle snuffers. A candle snuffer, when you snuff out a candle with a candle snuffer, you're putting it to bed. You're putting it to sleep and you're saying, thank you. Always thank the candle when you do this and just put it out. And you're doing that with the intention that, yes, I'm going to come back to you and light you again, but I'm just kind of putting you to sleep now. It's always good to have a really nice candle snuffer. The type that I like is the little bell part that snuffs out the candle is on a holder that swivels.
Yes.
So that the handle part of it, you can either drop it down a glass candle if you need to put that out and not burn yourself, or it'll swivel, you know, so that you could do it like you would normally do. But the main thing is those keep your hands really safe and away from the flame and you're not bothering the flame.
Cool. I just want to clarify for myself. I say I've got a taller candle, but I have to leave and be safe. I can extinguish the candle with a snuffer, but then I can relight it to continue the energy.
Yes. Okay. But you need to tell the candle that so that it understands.
Okay.
You know, it's like decide that you have a temporary pet for a while, like a cat or something. You know, that candle has become your temporary entity of doing whatever it is that you want to do. So, I mean, you can talk to it. You can tell it what you want. You know, another thing you can do with candle magic is as it's burning, how the flame is emanating tells you a lot about what what's going on with the candle. If the flame's really high and strong, it's doing its thing. If it's low and it's not working out, it's probably got some issues with what you want to do, or you're not really that great on what it is you're trying to do, even though you think you are. And of course, there's the practical end of this. There could be something wrong with the candle.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I was just about to ask about
don't freak yourself out. You know, if there is something wrong, I've gotten candles that have just been weird. And I had a glass candle that I lit and I was doing something and I heard this weird sound and I looked over and there was an air pocket in the wax. And so it just dropped this big hole in the wax and extinguished the candle out. Okay. So that could be, you know, that could just be spirit saying, this isn't a good time to do this, but it also could just be, you got a dud candle. Okay. And don't freak out. And that's where you have to move a little bit outside of the mechanics of this whole thing and use your intuition and your instincts and your heart and go, okay, what was this? And then just stand there and listen, because you'll get that first impression will tell you. And in that case, specifically with me, it was, oh, I just got a dud candle. I just need another candle. Okay. And that was the case. So there's all kinds of things to pay attention to when you're doing this.
Okay. Because,
and you're bringing something to life that's doing something for you. So you have to pay attention to how it behaves.
And then using the ever popular discernment.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That'll help you determine. Okay. Yeah. So you covered flame, looking at the flame and getting some divination out of that. Because fire divination, that's an old, I don't know what it's called, pyromancy?
Yes.
That sounds.
That's one of the oldest forms of divination magic.
What about the smoke? Can you tell anything from the smoke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If a candle is smoky, again, if it's not the candle itself, because sometimes candles are poorly made, but if it's smoky, then that's something that to pay attention to as well, because it's something that could be sending messages that really have nothing to do with what you're doing. It could be additional messages. It's really rare these days to have a candle smoke while it's burning. I mean, they smoke when you put them out, of course. Right. Smoke is something more to watch when you're using incense. It will tell you all kinds of things as it moves out of whatever it is it's burning. Okay. Yeah, that was smoke divination is also very, very common form of divination also. But insofar as candles are concerned, it's probably not a good sign if they're smoking for one reason or another. So that is something to pay attention to. But again, this is all the behavior of what's going on externally from you is telling you things that you just need to open up to and listen to. You know, if you're not open to doing that, you probably shouldn't be doing this.
True. So I remember way back when I was opening up to abilities and to doing things, that there was a meditation in which you had a candle going in front of you and you were trying to manipulate the flame. Is that still a thing? You know, making it grow taller, making it grow smaller. You always needed, it was a way of physicalization of mind control, which sounds really creepy and sci-fi right now, but you know,
What you're thinking of is not candle magic or candle spell work. What you're thinking of is someone who's more adept at higher magic, ceremonial magic. And what they're doing is they're using the candle to get in touch with the fire elemental that is imbued in every candle has a fire elemental, because that there are earth elementals, air elementals, water elementals, and fire elementals. And you're inviting in that fire elemental when you do candle magic. And the level that we're speaking of in doing candle magic is mostly using the understood energy of the mechanics of the candle itself. And that, of course, it's going to have a flame. So it's the whole candle itself, not just the flame. Okay. Whereas what you're speaking of is you just get a candle and you don't do anything special to the candle. It's not about the candle itself. It's not about casting a spell. It's about lighting the candle to get the flame itself and then involving yourself with the elemental in that flame and asking it to do something for you. That's a different kind of magic.
Okay.
So
it doesn't sound like that's that kind of, it doesn't sound like lighter, more casual magic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Got it. So it's not about, got it. Okay, let's see. Colors of candles. Oh, there's so many
Very important.
references.
Very, very important. Well, colors and magic are always important. Whatever kind of magic you're doing, earth magic, fire magic. And so it's really important to study and understand what those colors mean. And the meanings of those colors can vary from things that you read. But most candle magic books will be pretty spot on in what they tell you to use the colors for. Specifically, lustful, sexual kind of love. If you're looking to attract that in, then you want to use a deeper red candle. Higher, more romantic, friendship, true love. Pink is more the cat color. Green, a lot of people use green for money, but green is also the earth. So it really depends on what you're trying to bring in abundance-wise. If you're just looking to bring money in, like cash, I would use gold instead of
Yeah.
green.
Okay. That makes sense.
Silver is almost always moon magic of any kind. You can use silver for full moon as well as new moon, because that's always the goddess. Blue is for peace and higher understanding. Blue is the color also of teachers and those that are looking to gain deeper wisdom into things, because that's the color of the Mother Ocean. That's what she
Oh,
teaches us, is deeper wisdom and understanding.
I didn't make that connection.
Yellow is for the mind. So yellow is burned for studying, exams, business, that kind of thing, for more success. And specifically success, you can burn yellow and orange together. Orange is success, is for success. And trying to think, white is general purpose anything. White is a popular color to use for healing along with purple. Purple is a high vibration color. And when you burn purple candles, you're asking very high vibration beings to assist in whatever it is that you're doing. So that's something also to consider.
Because
Black.
when I think of colors, I go immediately to the chakras. But
Yeah.
yeah, but with this, it's more, I don't know, there you can use the shade of the color that's important, and then they have slightly different meanings, but that just broadens it. That just expands the whole thing.
Well, you can certainly use candles to do work with your chakras as well. And of course, in that sense, you would use the corresponding colors of your chakras with the candles. So,
Yeah, but candles don't come in those rainbow colors. You were about to mention black, and I know there's brown, and you just mentioned gold and silver too. So, yeah,
yeah.
let's talk about, please, if you would.
Brown is for work with animals. It's specifically for animal health and well-being. And you can also, if you've lost an animal, a pet, a brown is a good color too, because it's the color of the earth. And so you're asking for grounding and you're asking for help. And you're asking for the earth elementals to bring that animal back to you. So you're calling on them. So yeah, that's what brown is usually used for. And black, finally, black is not an evil color. So I want to just say that right out. In modern magic, in Wicca, in earth magic, which is what we're talking about here, black is not an evil color. Black is used to banish unwanted energies, usually from yourself. So if you're working on yourself and you're working on moving past and moving on from things that no longer serve you, it's a really good color to use. Black is also used for protection against certain things that you think may be harming you, because normal people do magic too. They just don't understand that they're doing it, and their energies can harm you. So you can use black also to invoke protection for yourself. And the final thing that I mentioned earlier, that I use black usually for is to work with the dark moon or the new moon. Because of course there's no moon in the sky, or it's a sliver. Okay. So that's the purpose of the black color. And again, new moon magic is for, working with things that are brand new that you're bringing in, but also things that you want to banish out and move on from. And also you can honor the shadow side of yourself. That is extremely sacred. That's helping you work through these less than positive things that you're trying to deal with in yourself, blocks and things that you're trying to move on from. Right. So,
yeah. And we're getting into that shadow time of the year.
I tell people a good way to look at black is something that I learned a long time ago that I just stopped me in my tracks when the person said it to me. She said, remember that the ancient Egyptians revered the color black because it was literally the color of the earth. Their earth was so fertile from the Nile that it was black. It wasn't brown the way we're most normally used to it now. It was black. So that's the color of the deep primal earth mother is black. Oh. So black is a really sacred color, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It is protective. And also, if you look at it, at white and black, white is all of the colors in the light spectrum put together.
Yes.
So you get a prism and it breaks them all out. But yeah. Black is also all the colors, say, mm-hmm. in a pigmented way.
Yes.
So it is all the colors, and they're not exclusively one. Black is not an absence of anything. It's actually even more, like you were talking about the soil of the Nile from Egypt. It's like got all of the things in it. So to disdain those, any of the colors, I think is not mm-hmm. going to benefit anybody, really. Not to disdain.
The fear of black is actually a rather new thing. The Victorians started the fear of black, and it was good old Queen Victoria herself. She was in such grief over losing Albert,
Bertie,
herself into black, because that's how she felt, and it just sort of carried over as a tradition now, and it's associated with death and the void, and we are in that time of the year right now. But it's really not something to fear. It's something to hold sacred, because the void is a place where we enter the void before we enter the light. We have that time of closing down before we move up and out again into the next thing, and that's a very sacred and holy transition. So to fear that is unfortunate, and so we need to move on from it.
Yeah, this is our opportunity to reprogram.
Yes.
See that those dark parts of us are still part of us, because you don't get a depth of perception without dark and light.
Yeah.
If everything's all screaming white, then it's can be too much. But if it's all black, then it's just so one-dimensional. So you do need that gradient of color, the shadows, and it brings out dimensionality and all that. That's cool. Let's see. What else? Going through, we did candle. Okay, so pretty much anything can be done with candle magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't think of anything else.
Well, I have something that I can leave you with.
Yeah, please.
I'm actually going to read this out of a very, I've been studying magic for almost 4 years, and this is something that's really, really, really old, out of one of my old books, and it really kind of sums up what this is about. It says, the sacred or holy fires, gifts of the god or goddess, and not made by human hands, gave way to portable fires such as the torch, oil lamp, and the candle. For convenience, the candle became the most popular method by which to communicate with the higher aspects of self and the god or goddess source. Its flame represented the spirit's highest potential, while the smoke carried the prayers and desires to the deities. Herbal offerings placed in the flames or embodied within the candle itself gave off a pleasing scent that often induced a hypnotic state or of awareness. This altered state of consciousness, whether induced by flame, prayer, chant, song, dance, herb or oil, or any combination thereof, and accompanied by strong desire, created a mysterious response called magic.
Ooh, I like that. Thank you. So next time we have a power outage, we all have ample opportunity to start knocking out some candle magic.
Yeah. Start lighting up those candles going, turn the damn lights back on, power company. Come on, come on, come on.
Here's to the safety of the line workers. Here's to the yeah. life. Here's to the preservation and my food in the freezer still being good. Magic is everywhere. It is, and it's all in how you look at it. I appreciate you making it this so accessible, because I think I think magic has just been such a word that people go, ha, because of somebody else's PR saying yeah. it's evil. It's like, no, you actually do have a lot of magic within yourself, and mm-hmm. and it's that light. And I think that's what the meditation to go along with this is going to be, is to find that light within yourself and mm-hmm. to light it and to let it expand, which is, it feels like that's a lot of what my meditations do. It's like, here, we're going to look at this and see your ideal self. It's basically another version of that, but we'll use a different image. So I don't have any other questions. I've been very good in writing my questions as we go, but I'm good. Thank you so yeah. much, Mary, for filling me in on all of this stuff. It's been awesome. I do want to make sure we include links for your candle sleeve person and your oil lady, so that if somebody wants to support I'm assuming they're local.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Both of them are actually.
Okay. So, you know, to find a small business to support, because I'm all about that. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Oh, okay. One other thing. You can buy candles anywhere, and I like my dollar store candles, and so that's me. I can get the same kind of candles at other stores, small businesses, but they're more expensive. So you've got to weigh those choices out. What can you afford? Mm-hmm. And it's all about intention that you are imbuing the candle with when you are doing the magic. Mm-hmm. I have been at workshops where we made our own candles. We had a sheet of beeswax. It had the honeycomb design on that particular one. That's where we laid in blessed or activated herbs, or I don't know if we put small stones in there, but we put in our intention into the wick and we rolled it up. And so that was a way for us to make our own candle. And I think when we do that, that adds a layer of empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's not the only way to do it, because we don't always have the resources to pick up that stuff, nor, you know, how many YouTube videos do you need to watch to do it, and all that. And so it was a group endeavor, and that was a lot of fun. So you can make candles. I mm-hmm. tried that, pouring the wax in with candles and stuff like that. I just, no, that's more crafty things I don't have to have in my house. But oil, okay, speaking of crafty supplies, the oils you're talking about, those are essential oils, right?
Yeah, you don't want to use commercial chemical
fragrance oils. That to me is the difference, is the essential oils come from directly from plant matter. They yes. are distilled or whatever, but the synthetic or the fragrance oils are mm-hmm. man-made.
And perfumes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to use those kinds of oils. And you also don't want to use diffuser oils. Those are made specifically for a diffuser. They're not, and diffuser oils also have chemicals in them. So you don't, When you hear the term essential oil, that's what you want to use, because you're using the purest form of whatever the herb is that's been distilled to put in the oil, like I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. Frankincense okay. oil, or, you know, lavender, or whatever, rosemary. You know, they're made without anything else.
They really. Are, what is the word, unadulterated?
Yeah.
They are pure oils. And so there are some oils like the citrus, I know those mm-hmm. are easily derived. You can get those easily from an orange, just squeeze it. There's orange oil right there. But there are other oils that are more expensive, like sandalwood. If you don't want to blend, you want the single ingredient sandalwood, that's more expensive. So those will be kind of more expensive, but they're also going to be more empowered and also safer. So, okay.
Well, it just having any kind of chemicals that aren't what you want to be using, that energy is going to involve itself in what you're doing, because it's going to be there. It's going to be on the candle. So that's why you want to avoid it, because you want to keep everything out and away from what you're trying to do that you don't want there.
So
So,
you could go through a cleansing process as you're preparing for this, whether it's clearing it with, doing an energetic imagery. I am an adherent of using counterclockwise motions, whether it's with a pendulum or a visualization to clear it. And then clockwise, again, with whether it's a pendulum or imagery or whatever else you're going to do, hand motions work, I think, stirring the pot. That's going to bring in the energy that you want.
And it's important to understand that. I have people that have talked to me that are on severe budgets. They don't have a lot of money for all of this stuff, and they have asked me, well, there's candles at the thrift store, can I use those? And I tell them, don't use anything that's already been burned. I mean, they shouldn't even be selling anything that's already been burned. Those just are done.
Yeah, ew.
If you want to use a candle that you find at a thrift store, you need to clear it first, and a lot, because it's been owned by somebody else. It's been in a different situation. So, I tend to go the route of getting new, for spell work. But if you can't afford that, if it's really not in your budget, then you can use stuff that you get at the thrift store. You just have to take that extra step of cleansing it and clearing it. I am a big proponent of sprays. I have sage spray, that you can get that at a metaphysical store too. You can also make sage spray. I have sage oil, and I just drop it in the water. I use filtered purified water, of course, and I make my own. But I spray stuff down really good that I get at the thrift store, whatever it is. And I also leave it in my windowsill for a few days and let the sun and the elements take everything out of it that's been in it before you use anything. It's like if you buy a t-shirt at the thrift store, you're not going to take it home and put it on you. You're going to wash it first. It's that same mentality,
So, could you set it in sand or salt?
Sure. If that, again, this is all intention and in intuition. I know of doing that. But for me, spraying it just feels right, but you need to do what feels right for you. It's just in general, figure out a way that works for you. Because I mean, some people use sage, they burn sage, and that also is very good,
Smoke smudges. Those are really good.
You can clear stuff really well with that.
Pro tip, don't light the sage, the smudge underneath the smoke alarm.
It really depends on the smoke alarm. Some of them won't react like mine doesn't. Mine's set specifically for like bad burning wood, burning dry, drywall, burning carpet, those smells, it will go off for that. But I
No,
don't
mine
have,
was.
it doesn't go off for my incense or my sage or anything like that.
Well, it goes off for my smudges.
Really? I'm sorry.
I've learned I need to open the window, open the door, and then as soon as I light it and it goes off, I'm flying out the door going, I'm smudging. I'm sorry. I'm smudging. Welcome to my life. Okay. Great. I think we've talked about it. So safety tips are always important.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. So.
And candle can burn you up. Candle can burn your house down. So yes, of course.
Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. Like I also, they'll tell you this a lot in the books, that if you're really, 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 really paranoid about leaving a candle burning, but you want to leave it burning, just put it in the bathtub before you leave.
Oh.
Because it's not gonna, you know, if it falls over, it's not gonna burn anything. You know,
that's
the safest place to put it. And if you've got cats, you know, just put it in the bathtub and shut the door so they can't go into the bathroom while you're gone.
Well.
And I've never heard of a problem with that. So
okay. Well, cool.
Unless
well, thank
you have a poltergeist in your bathroom, but that's another subject. You shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah. So. Okay. Making notes, mediumship. Okay. That would be a good one at Halloween too, but that's okay. So thank you so very much, Mary. I really do appreciate you sharing your knowledge with me and everybody. So if you would please give me your information, and you were talking about developing some classes and doing online reading. So if you could please include that too.
Sure. Again, my name is Mary McKenzie on Instagram. I'm Miniature Witch, and that's Miniature, W-Y-T-C-H-E. I'm also on Facebook. My website is linked on both of those sites. I do tarot card reading and psychic healing and ancestor contact, ancestor work. I also do house blessings, wardings, clearings. I can do secular weddings. I'm an ordained minister, so I can do lots of things. The people that I mentioned earlier in this podcast for oils, the oils I get from a business called Rosarium. Rosarium Blends, and you can Google that. The woman's name that runs it, her name is Katamara with a C.
Oh.
Yeah, so Rosarium Blends. Those, I highly recommend it. They're not cheap, but if you want the best, that's the best that I know of. The woman that makes the candle sleeves, her name is Kate with a C. Engelhart, and that's Engelhart.
Okay.
And if you hang on just a moment, I can give you, for some reason my phone is like really being slow, her business name, which I don't have off the top of my head. Goodness me.
Didn't you post a picture of one she did for you? Was that you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know why this is so slow. Okay. That's odd. Okay. Yeah, so her business is Seven Coins Devotional. She's also on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you look her up, she can hook you up with the candle sleeves that she paints.
Okay, cool. And you have the same name on Facebook as you do on Instagram?
Facebook, it's just Mary McKenzie.
Okay. Make notes.
She's this woman with the candle sleeves. She's got an Etsy shop too, so you can look her up on Etsy too.
Okay. I'll make sure I get those links in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Basically, I say anybody that knows Susie, you can find me, because I'm friends with Susie on Facebook. So just find me there and it'll link you up.
You can stalk her. Well, thank you so much. And you're doing readings online. Please talk about that.
I am. I'm doing readings for the month of October. Just contact me and we can set up a time. I now have the ability to do this visually, so I can set you up a Zoom appointment. Or if you have a Facebook Messenger, I can just do a FaceTime call with you on that.
Cool.
And I set the camera on the phone up so that you can see me and the cards, so that you can see the reading as you're going through it. I'll try to record it. I'm still learning how to do that, but I can definitely do that for you. And also next year, probably in the spring, the early spring, I'm looking at February, I will be starting a Wicca introductory series. And I'm also doing a beginning tarot card class series. And in both instances, I am putting the caveat that this is for beginners. So if you're looking for, you know, you already know what you're doing, then this is probably classes that are going to bore you to death. But I'm really looking for people who are just new on the path and really looking to start out and find out how this all works. Cool. So that's kind of what they're geared toward. And they'll be set up to where you can pay all at once for the whole year, because they're both year-long classes, or you can drop in and pay once a month for whatever class that interests you. So it'll be set up both ways.
Okay. And they can contact you through Instagram to get that.
Yep.
And yeah. Miniature Witch. Okay. Cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much. And sure. Thanks. This is Susie Goins from Blue Lightning Healing with Mary McKenzie, the Miniature Witch.
Yay.
Thanks so much. And until next time, blessings. Thank you again for joining me for another episode on Transformation Talk Radio. My name is Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing and Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My website is www.bluelightninghealing.com, and you can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, that's Susie at bluelightninghealing.com. Blessings. And welcome to another edition of my Stream of Consciousness audio newsletter, where we hit the rapids sometimes, other times we spin around in an eddy, and then there are the times we just run aground. This is end of October 2021. My contract with Transformation Talk Radio is up for renewal at the end of the month. I will not be re-upping the contract. No disrespect to them. They have been fabulous. It's just a layer of work and time that I need to reallocate. That being said, I do have other content to upload, which you'll be able to access on this current upload schedule through bluelightninghealing.com. I'm also reassessing the format, so if any of you have an opinion about what you would like to see, please let me know. You can contact me through the website or at susie@bluelightninghealing.com. We're coming up on starting some in-person events. You can find me in Washington State at the November 5th and 6th BEPC Wellness Expo. That's in Kent at the Kent Commons. I'm also looking at the MeWe in-person events in Linwood, Bellevue, and Bellingham. Check the website to see which ones I've signed up for. You can also check the website to see which online events I'm attending. I will still be doing a lot of panels and fairs through MeWe and my twice a month appearance on Sundays at Winnie's Angels. October 30th, we are doing an event online. Journey with Jessica is sponsoring a Jumpstart Your Spirit event. I'll be giving two talks there, meditation and channeling. Jessica also has a year-long mentorship or academy, she's calling it. That's in the works to start soon. It's a year-long class with fees attached to it. You got to pay for it. And those will be online also. You'll be able to draw from the experience, not only of me and Jessica, but from Natasha Venter and Ken Norton. I believe those are the four teachers we have so far, with the occasional guest. What else? No. I think that's it. So, until next time, blessings.